Blog Talk Radio.
Can't keep an artist, sign a dotted line, put them on the shelf, break them off some crumbs, keep the rest for yourself. I know how it goes, treat the artist like a hoe, fly cars, gold clothes, but no dope. Since it's all business, I'ma handle mine, keep track of my stack down to the very last dime. Cause in this rap game, it's all about the buck. You bend over for the label, then you will get fucked, like how you run up in a trick, and then you're through. The record label do the same shit to you. 90% business, 10% show. Ain't no love in this game, cause it's all about the dough.
Love, 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 love
Damn. What I'm gonna do now?
Word.
When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I give a leak, I'ma clock some cash. Did some time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get a leak, I'ma clock some cash. Did some time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. Them bitches is foul. Take a look at the evening news and see a nigga getting cut by the boys in blue. Is it a frame up? Tryna keep me out the game stuck. These motherfuckers tryna dirty up my name, but I'm slipping quick as a whip. Me and them fuck friends, my boys be on a mission tryna do me in. Fuck them, I'm about to get out. They all saw if I blow up like the rage, and then the rage blow their balls off. Why you niggas tryna test me, trick, and be the first ones to snitch to arrest me, bitch? Main thing was to make a meal ticket only if you with the real. The nigga will kick it all in bolster with the steel. Use the lessons that I learned to jail. Rule one, fuck a busty, he could burn in hell. Network with connects that I got in the pen. In no time, I'll be clocking again. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. There's some time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they treat me. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. There's some time locked down, but I'm back on the street. I'm a pass, trying to figure how a nigga turn dreams into cash. Quit, call and collect, ain't no respect on the other side. My cellmate, suicidal cause his mother died. And my CEO is the lady and I'm thinking maybe me and Huck a nigga for scheme. To be crazy cause he keep on calling me baby. To a young motherfucker facing 80, that's enough to make him crazy. Now how long will it take to get a hook? Gotta watch it, me lifting weights, sneaking looks. I devise a plan, I'm in the trunk while she drives the van. Ain't no disguise, I'ma die as a man. If we make it, then I'm taking it to hell. All them niggas that was fronting while I sat up in the cell. Locked in jail, I couldn't touch it, so I plan. Your misery, the nigga you don't wanna see. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. There's some time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. I'm locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. Stuck in my cell. The pen ain't nothing like the county jail. When will they let me bail? Walking through the yard, I play the card. First nigga disrespect me, first nigga getting scarred. I'm back on the scene. I'm hitting knees in the back of a limousine. Puffing on weed as we came on the drunk hoes. Hit the sucker, reminiscence on the way we used to play. You drunk hoes, but I possess to be rich and come and see. Paranoid niggas like bitches when they come to see me. Laid out, played out, the nigga barely breathing. That's for that bullshit punk nigga, now, now we even. But I wait until it's time and trying to find a quicker way to profit off this crime. This life of mine, until I get free. My prophecy is niggas screaming as if they bleed in agony. As soon as they drop my gate, I knew these motherfuckers made a mistake. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. It's a time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. This is time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. When I get free, motherfuckers better watch their ass. Soon as I get released, I'ma clock some cash. This is time locked down, but I'm back on the street. There'll be trouble when they see me. When I get free. Yeah, nigga. When I get motherfuckers free. Pop the gate. I'm back, baby. When I get free.
Yeah, welcome everybody, Versatile Radio, Real Talk Tuesday. I'd like to welcome my new co-host, Mr. Louis Verdugo. Louis, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. How you doing?
Yeah, man. All right, man. How you feeling today, bro?
I'm doing fine. You know, I had a good day with the kids ministry over here at Calvary Chapel. You know, just enjoying the laughs of the kids that, you know, that don't have great homes or nothing like that. They come here, you know, to seek refuge from everything that is going on around them and stuff like that. You know, and it's a blessing to see their smiles and stuff like that. You know, when they're in a godly environment, that just makes it all worth it, man.
Yeah, man. I see the pictures you put up on Facebook, man. That's cool. So,
yeah,
what are you guys doing there? You guys are just at the spending some time with kids, or?
Well, I'm in charge of keeping them occupied in the recreational area and stuff like that. So I had a couple of my little buddies doing push-ups and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, that's right.
they see me doing push-ups, so they like to do that and stuff like that, imitate me and stuff, you know. Which is
it just blesses
my heart, man, real big.
Yeah, that's right, man. That's good stuff right there, man. Yeah. So what'd you do this weekend, man? How was your weekend?
Oh, the weekend was great. You know what happened. You know, I was elated because my San Diego Chargers won. They passed over to the second round, to the next round.
Yeah.
Had a great service on Sunday. You know, my pastor is a great expositor of the Word of God. And so, you know, it's always a blessing to be able to go to church and stuff like that and be able to just get fed, you know, spiritually. You know, and it just makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, man. That's right. That's good stuff, dude. So why don't you tell our listeners, man, a little bit about your background, bro, since starting the show off today. You know, tell them a little bit about what you've been through and what's going on with you now.
Okay, sure, I'll do that. My name is Louis. I was brought up in Oceanside, California, born right here in Tijuana, taken over to the States every, you know, ever since I was a kid. And grew up in the barrio environment and stuff like that, you know, went through the motions and commotions of prison activity, gang activity, drug activity and all that stuff. You know, I don't want to sit here and just relate everything that went down, but I just give you a brief background. That's, you know, I grew up in the ghetto, I grew up in the neighborhood, and, you know, by the grace of God, God found me, you know, in my desperate moment in time, you know, as I was, you know, just facing some rough spiritual battles within my life and stuff like that, you know. I began to question what was going on within my life and stuff like that, you know. I began to seek after God and stuff like that, and God really, you know, He came and found me as in my condition that I was in, and by the grace of God, He saved me, man. And I am what I am today because of His grace and mercy.
Can you guys hear me okay, Carlos?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you for that, Louis. I'm just going to come in real quick and, want to let the audience know, remind them what this show is about. Of course, it's a Real Talk Tuesday. We got Mr. Louis Verdugo, who's going to be with us on Real Talk Tuesdays from now on with Mr. Carlos Trejos, and they're going to be touching down on a whole lot of issues or topics that are going to apply to spirituality and the realness of life these days. So right. What we're going to do here, it is our first show with these two gentlemen, and they're going to basically, you know, just keep it real and speak about their opinions and their views on spirituality, and they both come from the same background. So this is going to be very interesting. So you guys go ahead and, you know, do your thing. God bless you guys. And I'm right here on the sidelines. We're also going to open up the chat line right now. If you guys want to join us in the chat room or if you want to call in, number 347-215-7698. And the chat room is opening now. All right, you guys. God bless.
God bless you, Mari.
Yeah, so we're going to keep it versatile, of course. My views on spirituality and religion are, I was going to say a little different, but they're pretty much a lot different than my co-host, Louis. So we're going to have, you know, both ends. It's not just going to be one-sided. You know, it's both ends of the spectrum. So, you know, it should be good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah, man. So how did you get started with religion, man? Did that start like when you got locked up, or how did that go?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, you know, this was infused within me ever since I was a child. You know, growing up, mm-hmm. Catholic, you know, always had this awareness of you know, of the presence of God somewhere, you know, but I just didn't have a personal relationship with them, you know, as the scriptures affirm that we have to have a personal relationship with them. You know, I was just, you know, my background was just based on religion, going to church, you know, on Sundays, dressing up and, you know, just going through the motions and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I started seeking, you know, for answers and stuff like that, you know, because I believe that every single rational human thinking being has to ask himself three questions within his lifetime. You know, how did I get here? Who am I, first of all? Who am I? How did I get here? And where am I going after this? So, you know, it's those questions began to wash within my mind and stuff like that. They started filtering through my mind. I started seeking, you know, for answers. And I started studying scripture and stuff like that, you know. I didn't make no commitment to it until I found myself at the rung of the ladder, man. I hit bottom, and so I just cried out to God. I said, well, if you're real, then manifest yourself in my life. And he did that, and, you know, he found me right where I was at. And he manifested himself in a mighty and powerful way that I can never deny. You know, drugs were never able to do that for me. Nothing else within this life. Just like I shared with you, Carlos, before, you know, as Jesus was at the well with a woman in Samaria in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, you know, Jesus asked this woman for a drink. And this woman tells him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, being a Samaritan, for a drink? For Jews and Samaritans not have dealings with one another. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman automatically replies, you know, sir, give me this water so that I never have to come here and draw ever again. And Jesus said, he who drinks of this water will always thirst again. But the drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And so, you know, it became so real in my life, because the truth of the matter is that I tried to put things in this void that I had within my heart, and nothing was able to fill. The drugs weren't able to do it. Women, partying, whatnot, selling, dealing, gangsterism, all this other stuff that you can just, you know what I mean, that you can put in the margin, was not able to do anything for me. It wasn't until I came into the well and I drank of the water that he had to offer that my life became, you know, fulfilled and stuff like that. And this is where I find myself today. You know, Jesus is faithful. And I mean, just like he said, he who drinks of this water will thirst again, you know.
Right.
And he that drinks of the water that I should give him shall never thirst again.
Okay. Now, my question is, why is it that people really, really, really give themselves to God and Jesus in times of despair, and not when they're doing good, but when they're doing bad? See, that's my thing about religion. That there's a lot of double standards.
I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that just desperados are the ones that are, you know, always calling out to God. I believe that, you know, just like I was reading an email that was sent to one of the ministries that I follow. You know, this guy is an atheist. And this guy, he has, you know, he's well off and stuff like that. He was just asking Dr. William Craig some questions about his atheism, because he's been listening to Dr. Craig give reasonable arguments for the Christian faith and for the reality of God. You know, he presents five arguments that haven't been refuted to this day. And those arguments are very compelling. So this man who's an atheist, who's a very well-educated person, you know, he, after listening to Dr. Craig, he came to the reality that hey, wait a minute, there has to be more than this. I mean, how can I go to Ex Nihilo after this, you know? It just really doesn't make any sense. So he's in a quest right now, in a spiritual quest. He still has his doubts. But at least he's beginning to have the awareness of the reality that it has to be more than this. It has to be more than this life, you know. And like I said, I don't think just desperate people are the ones calling out to God. But you know what? In a sense, you know, this is what Jesus came. He came for those who were sick. You know, Jesus, you know, all the righteous people that were always antagonistic to Jesus, always were coming to him and not really accepting what he was, what he was bringing forth. And so Jesus, he addressed those religious people, and he says, it is not those who are well, but those who are sick, who are in need of a physician. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners unto repentance. You know,
right.
Those who recognize the reality that their lives are screwed up. You know, this is the people that Jesus came to relate to.
Okay. But I mean, it's to me, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, there's no proof of anything that's written on there. Like, it's something that's 5,000 years old, and people are devoting their lives to worrying about what's going to happen when they die. I think that's a waste of this life that we have, this beautiful life that we only live once, and we don't know what's going to happen when we die, you know. And I can't see myself saying, okay, I'm going to devote my life that I only live once into what's going to happen to me when I die. Yeah. You know, it's just to me like you know, and it's like I see it in two ways. Either God is real, And he's going to be like, well, you weren't a bad person. You didn't kill nobody. You didn't hurt nobody. You didn't do no wrong. You didn't go to church, but you're a good person. Okay, you come in. Or nothing happens. Out of those two choices, I'd rather live my life doing the right things, you know, not hurting people, giving when I can, but living my life, you know, rather than it happening and then, oh, man, nothing happened either way, or, oh, you would have came in either way. You know, either way, you would have came in. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, I know where you're coming from.
Based on what you just said, you know, living a good life or not do, you know, I don't think it's gonna get you any brownie points in any way, shape, or form. Like I told you the other day, you know, a person came to Jesus with that same reality. He came to Jesus as good teacher. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? For there is none good but God. You know, the Bible explicitly says that they all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one, there is none good. No, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, so,
right.
So your definition of goodness, you know, it really doesn't fly in the face of the holiness of God. You know, God is holy. We measure ourselves with the, you know, among ourselves, we're probably going to come up better than other people and stuff like that. But when we measure ourselves with God's goodness, then all of us come short. Every single one of us. There's none can ever measure up to Him. You know?
And so,
you know, your definition of goodness is just, you know, you taking a chance of doing good merits in life and stuff like that in order to grant you a passage into heaven. And that's not what it's all about. It's about repentance, accepting the fact that you're a sinner, knowing that there is none good, because, you know, all of us are broken God's standards, you know? Every single one of us, you know, have fallen alive.
We're gonna take a little break, man, but we're gonna come back, man. We're gonna talk about Jesus, man. We're gonna talk about the man, Jesus, and his works. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Been having problems with my woman. Been walking the floor, can't sleep at night. But I know now if we make up, even if we break up, for me everything's gonna be alright. I have prayed on you. Well, now I have turned it over to the only one. let your will be done. Oh, my child is doing drugs and hanging with the wrong crowd. Instead of getting better, seems to be getting worse. Did everything I could, but it didn't do no good. So now I've done what I should have done first. I got down on my knees and said, "Help me, please." And I prayed on,
oh,
prayed on,
prayed on.
I have turned it over to the only one who can solve any problem. And said, "Father, your money getting funny and your bills overdue. Your whole life situation is just trial and tribulation. I know one thing that will see you. Will you fall on your face and you pray on it?
Pray on it.
You got to turn it over.
You might not understand, but you might have to rewind this shit a few times. Heavy. Heavy. Check it out. I know tomorrow ain't a promise, that's why I live one day at a time. So when it's my turn, there'll be no crime. I'm aware that when my number's called, I'm punching the clock. No need for screaming at me, my. And plus, I wasn't really happy here to start with. Let that be told, my own homeboy was robbing me, and that's three cold. I said three, it's all intentional, cause two don't count. When your own blood's bitter and your homeboy's bound, who the fuck is you gonna trust when your old dogs are scheming? And every other corner, you're passing a different demon. And now the closet's open, I'm remembering this. Your family's your backbones, your friends ain't shit. Now I'm believing what Russia was saying back in the days. When the homeboys left, she the only one staying. For that very reason, I'ma try to give her the world. I found heaven in the form of a girl. Everybody's saying, and if you ain't never met him, don't speak on God. I'm serious about religion, this just ain't no song. I'ma hear niggas making up scriptures and playing along. You're probably saying I'm the hypocrite for judging these folks, but you can tell me ain't a Christian by the way that these folks. I pray for everybody, hoping that they hear that voice, the one that paralyzes you from head down, boy. When you aware of your surroundings, yet you still can't move. Water shooting out of your eye when you hear this dude. And the voice is much louder than the voice that you thought was the voice of the Holy Spirit. It'll change your life when you hear it. And the next morning you wake up and the world look lighter. The grass greener and the sun brighter. I know the feeling firsthand, I witnessed the sight. When I allowed the Lord to come in my life, and it was like heaven. Well, I'm a man, I ain't perfect. That's a poor excuse that ain't working. I ask him for forgiveness for every sin I commit, hoping he gon' let me stay on his list. Trying to get to America the beautiful, don't be so cold. How you expecting our seeds gon' grow when you trap us in the gun? Show love to the other motherfuckers while we right here starving at home. I'd cry if I thought that me shedding a tear might help. Then again, me shedding tears don't help. I wanna call up to the president just to see if he know help. Let him know you up Shit Creek yourself. We all sinners facing the winter with no socks and no shoes. In a position where we all gon' lose. To the penitentiaries, we gon' need more fools. And what the fuck is we gon' do? Sit around and let the world pass by, waiting on a message for the reverend. And he ain't but another man trying to get to,
trying to get to heaven. Yeah, man, I like that jam. Yeah. Welcome back, Versatile Radio. That's Scarface off the Fix album in 2001, I think it was, it came out. What was that?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I was saying that was off the Fix album, on Scarface.
But yeah, man, just getting back to this subject here, man. We're talking about spirituality and, you know, from the point of view of us as ex-convicts. And I say ex because we ain't convicts no more. But yeah, man, we're going to get into Jesus, man. We're going to get Jesus.
Amen.
Talk about Jesus, man. Let me hear about it, about him.
Well, man, you're touching a broad subject here. You're talking the subjects of all subjects, man.
Right.
Jesus, what can we say about him? I mean, that is, I can stay here all night and talk about him, you know. But I can just relate what he's done for me. I can just, you know what I mean, the immediate impact that he had in my life. You know, he's transformed my life from a vile sinner, and my family can testify to this reality. You know. It's just that it's a blessing, you know, to see how my family just see changes, you know, immediate changes in my life, you know, and they're able to express their contentment, you know, and the fact that God has changed my life 100%, man. It just, you know, it just brought me full circle. And, you know, it just, like I said, you know, like, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, that is an offer that, oh, man, how can you refuse it? You know,
it's
for Jesus to come down here, as I told you, Carlos, to disrobe himself of his majesty and come down here and become one of us. It's unbelievable. It just befuddles my mind. It just astounds me, you know, in a capacity that I can't fully understand. Why would God, will go on to that painstakingly, reality to come and save us, unworthy sinners. But that's that verse in itself. It's a well. For God so loved the world, He loved us so much.
John 3:16.
One of the most famous verses in the Bible.
My problem with the problem with the whole story, there's no proof that he existed. We're taking the word of mouth of the disciples, and the written, the New Testament was written about 200-300 years after Jesus died, and the Gospels that were written from Jesus, that were his actual words, are banned from the Bible.
That's
Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene's views are gospel is taken off the Bible as well.
I'm sorry to correct you on that. You got it all wrong. The Bible, the Word of God is reliable, and it goes the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. Where we find it in 1 Corinthians 15, it was.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, just hang tight.
Sounds like we lost. We lost. Yeah, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Baby, you understand me now. Sometimes you see that I'm.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Versus Talk Radio. Oh, I thought that was done. Yeah, man. I thought that one was done. Yeah. We apologize to everybody about that. We had some little bit of technical issues here. We lost Louis, but we definitely have him back.
Hey,
so, continue, man, to what you were saying, bro.
Okay, well, you know, in reference to what you were saying, that there is no evidence, you know, I hate to correct you on that, you know, but we do have not only biblical evidence, but we also have secular historians who attest to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know. So it's not only, you know, something that it is attested by church people, but also by those who were antagonistic towards the gospel. Josephus being one of them, okay. And Philo being another one, you know, just to name
why
a few.
Why doesn't science acknowledge him or anything that's in the Bible?
What do you mean, science?
Yeah, like science. Science and religion, those are oxymorons. They can't go together, you know what I mean?
They
can't be a religious scientist.
The validity of
the but that's my question. Is like, okay.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you guys right quick. We have a live caller on the line. His name is Anthony, and he seen one of our posts and noticed, you know, that we were having a discussion between ex-convicts and spirituality, and he kind of wanted to join in or maybe touch down on a little bit of what you guys. I don't know how much of the show you've been listening to, Anthony, but go ahead, you're live.
Oh, yeah, I just called like 5 minutes, so I was browsing through and seeing it says something about spirituality and ex-convicts, and I said I was an ex-convict. And in some ways, okay. It always seems like you're a convict no matter what you do, you know, even
mm-hmm.
when you get out and you change everything because everything's held against you we can't hire you because you got a felony, and you can't rent from us for an apartment because you got a felony, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it just seems like the only way to bypass all that is to get back into what you were doing prior that made you a convict in the first place. You know what I mean?
Sure. That revolving door just, keeps slapping us in the face. I know me myself, I was a victim of that revolving door or going through that revolving door for many, many, many years. So I can completely relate to what you're saying. This show is actually... our top, we're trying to bring spirituality to the table and the different views of, convicts or ex-convicts with spirituality, you know, being that, us being behind walls and, you know, sometimes, when we have no other choice, we cry out to God because, you know, we have no other choice. So we're kind of, you know, getting to that. This is going to be, probably about a four-part show, which will, finish out through the month of January. But, I can definitely feel you on that, revolving door and losing hope. Can you say anything about that, Mr. Verdugo or Carlos Trejos?
In regards to the revolving door, what's his name again?
Anthony. Anthony, where are you calling from? Real quick,
where are
you calling
from? Chicago Heights.
All right.
Chicago Heights.
Yeah, getting from Chicago Heights, man. Getting from Chicago Heights. The other brown brother.
That's right.
Well, I can,
go ahead.
I can actually concur with what Mari's saying. You know, it's tough, you know, for us convicts and stuff like that. Well, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm deported here in Tijuana, Mexico, just as Carlos is deported here in Tecate, Mexico. You know, it's sometimes we got to deal with the consequences of our choices, you know. And you know what, in all reality, I don't blame an establishment or anything like that. I take full responsibility for my actions. You know, I'm the one that put myself in prison. It was my bad choices that led me to spend, you know, most of my life, my adult life, behind prison bars. You know, it's unfortunate, you know. And I know it's tough, you know, trying to come out here, trying to tackle the world, you know what I mean, with that stigma behind us, you know, as an ex-convict. And I truly feel you, man. I truly feel what it is that you're going through. You know, society, you know what I mean, it's not accepting of us, you know, unfortunately. But there is lots of people that are willing to help out. I know there is lots of people. In fact, this is the reason why I find myself at a Calvary Chapel here in Tijuana, Mexico. They were willing to open their doors to me and stuff like that because I could have ended up as a casualty out there in the streets, you know. And I mean, things are rough out here in Mexico. You know, they're very, very.
Oh, I know all about. I used to go down to Tijuana and Nogales and a lot of other places. I know everything about that.
Like the whole revolving door thing and the whole prison system, it's a broken system. Yeah, I understand that people do crimes. I take responsibility for what I did too. But I did my time in prison, and afterwards they still continue to punish me by deporting me. I would rather do 10 years in prison and get out and be an American and be able to do what I have to do over there than to do the 2 years that I did and then get deported, get caught, and then do 2 more years and then get deported again. It's a headache and it's messed up. That doesn't work. The punishment doesn't equal the crime for them to be doing that to you. Too many people accept that. And even with prison over there that are legal, once you go to prison and you become a felon, they take away all your rights as a citizen. You can't vote. You can't own a gun. And all of that is taken away from you. I understand the whole gun thing, but why can't you vote? Because you did a crime. Everybody makes mistakes.
Well, even the politicians do crime.
Dick Cheney, vice president. He got a DUI. He was driving drunk. He was like wasted, and he got pulled over and got a DUI. What if that man had killed somebody? That's a serious crime right there, driving drunk. You know what I mean? And he went on to become president, and they say, oh, well, everybody deserves a second chance, but not if you're not an American. You don't deserve a second chance. They'll protect child molesters. They'll protect murderers. They'll protect all kinds of people over there because they're Americans and because I ain't. I mean, my thoughts are in English, dude. I mean, I was pretty much born over there. You know, all I know is over there, and I'm so used to over there that I'm as close to the border as possible. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like,
well, let me give you guys something for your show, and let me explain a few things to you from my point of view, if that's all right, and then maybe you can help me,
probably.
And then I can help other people that are listening. Here's the way I see it. You know what I mean? I'm Sicilian. All right, and how I see it is it's not a racial thing, and I'm going to bring the spiritual stuff into all of this too. But how I'm seeing it is it's a crime factory, and it sells crime, so there's got to be convicts, so that way everyone can make money, new jobs, everything else. We're a bunch of cattle with numbers to it, right? Now, when you do the crime, you do the time. I got no problem with that. I used to deal with distribution of cocaine, okay? And, you know, I know people all over the country, you know what I mean, down in Mexico and everything. That's real shit. You know, I could tell you stuff that would blow your mind, and you would know what I'm talking about. But, okay, so, you know, in the last 10 years, I've been all jails and a few prisons all over the United States, okay, for everything that I did. The punishment never fits the crime because it's not meant to fit the crime, and it's people like you, the other guy, the lady, and me. Well, we're better people than that. That's why we got brought down. It sounds dumb to say that, but we're so much better than the norm and the rest of society because we have more potential. We just directed it in the wrong way. You know what I mean? So that brought us down because they got to keep people that are strong and rebellious down. That's why you see the penitentiary filled with people like me or whatever your situation was with. For selling drugs or being a part of drugs, no matter how many, you know, birds it was, it doesn't matter. I'm the bad guy? No, I don't think so. So then you put me back out into society and tell me, well, yeah, if you keep trying, you'll get a job. Sure, you can do construction or whatever else, you know, or whatever, but you're not going to get no real job unless you open your own business. Okay, you know what I mean? Now, financially, I'm straight. I ain't got nothing to worry about. But I'm just saying for the other people that experienced what I experienced years ago and stuff, there's many opportunities you can do. Just direct what you were doing with the illegal stuff, as they call it, and put it to something legal. If you could sell cocaine, if you could be out there robbing people, if you can get out there and hustle and stuff, all this other crazy stuff, you could do a great thing in the business world because you have the skill sets already. You got something that most people don't have. You know what I mean?
Let me cut you off there, Anthony.
Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with you. You know, we have a broken system and stuff like that. You know, and unfortunately, you know, that's the way of the world. You know, we can only, you know, we cannot change government. We can only try to change ourselves. And this is where I find myself. You know, By the grace of God, I am who I am today. You know what I mean? I try to do what the Bible says, you know, forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing forward towards, you know what I mean, towards the high calling of Jesus Christ, you know. Christ
right.
changed my life in a dramatic way. And so, therefore, you know, I don't really dwell, you know, dwell in those things, you know what I mean, that, you know, about how the system, wrongly accused me. And, you know, I just did 6 years for just crossing the border illegally. You know, I'm just barely been deported. 8 months ago, you know, did I like what the, you know, the punishment? Of course not. But unfortunately, that's the law of the land. And so, therefore, you know, there's nothing that I could have done.
But too many people accept it, man. Too many people accept that and say, oh, well, I'm just going to get punished. And they don't see the hypocrisy. They don't see the fact that the United States is the number one consumer of drugs in the world. And it's also the worst place to get caught with drugs in the world. And then they put these drug laws, they put on the Drug Enforcement Agency, and they start putting you in jail for drugs when they themselves infected New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the rest of the places where there's minorities with drugs. And this is a proven fact. The Iran-Contra affair happened. They happened. Reagan, the Reagan administration, they were allowing the Colombians to bring in drugs by the tons.
Well, who
do
you
United
think allowed Mexico to bring it in?
Yeah,
it's all government ran.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a crooked, crooked.
And talk about politics, and we're not going to accomplish anything. You know.
Right, and
I,
about the spiritual
know,
stuff that I was going to bring in, I was going to ask you, did you find your spiritual calling with Jesus Christ and all that while you were locked up, before or afterwards? Or are you still struggling with that now?
No,
because
I'm not struggling at all. You know, well, I committed my life to Christ, you know, while I was incarcerated. You know, I came out here, you know, 6 years ago. I was serving full time here at a Calvary Chapel. I crossed illegally again. I did 6 years behind prison walls. You know, it was rough. You know, I had to go through some real dramatic changes in my life and stuff like that. But by the grace of God, you know, I posted a post this morning that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, once God has us in His hands, He's not going to let us go, no matter what, you know. There's nothing that we can ever do to unsave ourselves, you know. Christ paid it all for us, you know. And
right.
so, therefore, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but also, you know, also the amen. The Bible is the most violent, one of the most violent books ever written. Religion has been the number one cause of wars, of deaths. The reason that we're not a higher in technology is because of religion. The reason that we're not better as in medical, more advanced in medical-wise and less people dying is because of religion, because they stop it. Stem cell research would save so many lives, but they stop it because they say, oh, you're going to kill a baby. Or is it where they're getting it? It's already already used. Yeah, but that's got – but we're talking to an invisible being, an imaginary friend. You know, that nobody has ever seen, that we're taking,
yeah.
But it is an imaginary friend, because people, they just say what's in
their head, dude. This is where we differ, me and you. You know, you talk about religion and stuff like that. I'm not talking about religion whatsoever. I'm speaking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know.
But this is a person that's thousands of years old that you don't even know really.
Religion is an attempt of by man to reach out to God. Christianity, true Christianity, is God reaching down to us, hopeless sinners, and coming in the form of His Son Jesus Christ, and pay the penalty that was due to each and every one of us. You know, I'm not here following any religion. You know, I'm here, you know, because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's changed my life in a way that my family can attest to that reality. You know. You know, I haven't become sinless. I just sin a whole lot less than what I used to, you know. And believe me,
but
you know,
said you wasn't struggling, so why am I struggling in that aspect? You know what I mean? If I did the same thing as you, why am I struggling?
Anthony, maybe because you haven't committed yourself fully to Christ. Maybe there's things in your life you're not surrendering. You know, maybe there's compromises that you're making in your life. You know, the Bible says that, you know, Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm lowly and meek, and you will find rest for your souls. See, all those burdens that you're carrying, brother, you need to bring him to Christ, and you need to leave him at the
cross. How do you know he said that, though? How do you know he said that? How do you even know, like, these are things written by other people, and the words of Jesus weren't even allowed. They weren't even allowed in the Bible. They cut them out. Going to the Gnostic Gospels. There's so many Gospels that were cut out because people, after the fact of Jesus, decided, well, no, he stood for this, he stood for that. It doesn't matter that it's his words, because there is actual written gospel of Jesus, and he says the way to heaven is knowledge.
Really? Well, you know, just like I told you personally, Carlos, those Gnostic gospels came into existence hundreds of years after.
But they're just as old as the Bible. They were carbon dated. This is science fact. How old they are? They're around the time of Jesus, but yet people said, nah, we're not gonna put that in there. Who was that person? That's just another flesh and bone person like you are, like I am. Now, who is he to say, oh, well,
I don't know.
You have to believe in this, you have to believe in that, and because of this, you know? It's like, I believe what I see, you know? And I'm not saying that I'm not a bad person. I help people, you know? I don't do bad. I don't wish bad things on people. But to me, being religious is like, I don't want to say a waste of time, but you only live once, dude. And there's so much beauty in this world. There's so much beauty in this world.
You got that right.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this song. We'll be right back. Versatile Radio.
Yeah.
I know you think you're having fun. The party feels so bad. But there's one thing we've got to say before we leave tonight. So what will you do when the party's over? So what will you do when the party's over? You're riding high, looking fine, and life seems out of sight. But without that beer and without those drugs, things wouldn't be so right. Jesus came to free you from a life of toil and sin. We'd sure like to see you let the Savior in. So what will you do when the party's over? So what will you do when the party's over? Listen. You say you're young, got time, the Bible's just not your thing. A few more years will matter much. You're gonna give your life a flame. But what if Jesus comes back to take his church away? Something happens. Do you know if you'll be saved? So what will you do when the party's over? What will you do when the party's over?
Thank you.
listen. Listen to what I say.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Versatile Radio.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, yeah, man. I don't know what happened.
So I had a quick input on that. He said he didn't want to dwell on the negativity, but the negativity is what brought you closer to Jesus Christ and got you saved. So even if someone was to dwell on the negativity, I believe that can also give them the strength if they learn or know or taught how to direct that to the positive way. You know what I mean? Because it's always the negativity that brings you closer to something.
Sure. Well, I can elaborate on that personally. In my experiences and the things that I went through, there were times where I believe God had to take me to a certain level because He couldn't get my attention any other way. Sometimes when we're taken to these levels, we have nothing else to turn to but God. So personally, I mean, I just think, to each his own. God's the one, he created us. He knows us best. So he knows where he has to take us in order, to get his attention or for his will to be done in our lives,
Right.
And that's just my opinion on that, yeah.
Mm.
It all goes back to what I told you, Carlos, too, as well. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, when that woman, when Jesus asked her for a drink, and Jesus told her, very bluntly, he who drinks of this water will thirst again. Speaking of the things of the world, there is nothing that is ever going to fill our hearts, I don't know what it is that you're going through in your life, Carlos, personally. I don't know what kind of scars you have, but I know that Jesus can mend those hearts, those scars. He can go ahead
I grew up Christian, man. My mom is a Christian. My whole family is Christian, man. So, I've studied the Bible. I know the Bible. And I've looked at it in every way possible, and there's just I can't devote my life into something that's full of so many contradictions and full of so much violence.
Listen, let me just clarify something right now. You say that you know the Bible, okay? You say that you know the Bible. The Bible specifically says that the natural man cannot understand the things of God, for they're spiritually discerned. How can you, Carlos?
Why are you going to dedicate your life into something you don't understand? If you can't understand something, why are you going to dedicate it? You wouldn't do that with anything else.
The reason why you don't understand the Bible, because you do not have the aiding of the Spirit living within you in order to understand those things with those things which are written in the Bible. The Bible is a spiritual book. It's written. The author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. And that is why it goes to the reality that the natural man cannot understand the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned.
Are you going to dedicate your life to something you don't even understand? Oh, I don't understand it, but I'm going to dedicate my life to it.
I didn't. Let me tell you something. When I gave my life to Jesus, I knew that there was water in the pool before I jumped in it.
Right.
You jump into a pool that there is no water in. You're just throwing yourself out to chance. I know that the water, that the well is full, my brother. Jesus's well is full. That's why I threw myself in there.
Yeah.
I didn't just commit myself. I didn't commit my life to Jesus Christ based on blind faith. No, I got plenty of evidence to substantiate what it is that I believe in. Keep relating to all these Gnostic gospels and all these violence within the Bible. But listen,
it's in there. It's in there. People turn a blind eye to it and they just look at what they want to see. But there's so much. There's a guy God telling a guy to kill his son. A guy takes his wife, takes away his things. It's like there's angels that are going to be raped by man. There's just so much craziness and violence in there, and to think that we came from two people, from Adam and Eve. How do you explain the dinosaurs? How do you explain evolution? How do you explain all of that? You can't turn a blind eye. It's scientifically proven.
There is plenty of evidence. There's plenty of resources that I can send to you, just like I did the other day. I sent you the link on Dr.
Right.
William Craig. I don't know if you even listened to it, but there is no evidence. We have ample
evidence.
But
what's the evidence that anything in the Bible is real?
What do you mean? The immediate evidence. It's the changing within. You know, look at me. You know what it's done to me. It changed me, brother.
Yeah, but I could go back and say, oh well, Nelson Mandela was a good man. I'm gonna dedicate my life to Nelson Mandela, or Cesar Chavez was a good man. I'm gonna dedicate my life to Cesar Chavez. I mean, Cesar Chavez, Nelson Mandela, they spoke about a lot of good and all of that. And I could start quoting things from that they said, but I'm not gonna dedicate my life to them.
Well, hey, let me say this real quick before I forget it. I think I understand what the other guy was saying. I forget your name, the one that dedicated his life to Jesus. Carlos?
Louis.
Okay, Lou. Yeah. I think I understand what you're saying, because how I've been looking at it is I couldn't label Jesus as my Savior, but I believed in God, something more higher being than me, something that created me, because for everything in this world, there's an equal opposite, like cold and hot. Hungry and full.
Amen.
And then, like, if you take good and take an O out of it, you got God. And if you take evil and you put a D to it, you got devil. So if somebody like me that's experienced spiritual in this world, I guess some people will call it a ghost, and I've seen evil and I've done evil, then I know there's got to be good. So if there's good, then there's evil, and these things try to deteriorate our train of thought to keep us off focus. I get that. But like I said, I was still having trouble, you know, trying to get full into that whole spiritual thing, because then it was like, you know, before Jesus, he was in the Quran, he wasn't the Savior. Muslims came before that. So it's like, well, which religion do I follow? And if I follow the wrong one, do I go to hell? You know what I mean?
You know,
looks at very bad now.
Yeah, there's so many people out there that, I mean, feel the exact same way that you two are feeling, you know, and this is why Versatile Radio is going to continue having these shows with Mr. Louis Verdugo, because, he's got scripture to back up whatever he says, and this is not, you know, we're not trying to turn this into any type of argument or whatever. I want to hear whatever other people feel and what's in their head, because I'm not there, you know, and Versatile Radio, that's why we're Versatile Radio. We'll be right back right after the song.
Father in the heaven, can I thank you your love? What you've done for me, how you hung up on the cross and shed your blood for me, and no one could tell me, Father, you ain't real, cause you're the only one that ever answered my appeal, and let me out of a sentence of death. That's why I will praise you, Lord, till my last breath. I owe my life to you, cause you gave me everything, and I will serve you with my strength and bow before my King. The magic man break down like this to let the Lord know how much I appreciate the things he did. Ever since I was young, he held my hand and held me right, guided me through all the good things in life. You know that's right, so I get down on my knees today and say with BLVD, Lord, muchas gracias for being there for me. The longest days, the darkest nights, no matter what happened in my life, I felt that you was always in my heart and on my side.
Yeah, man. Welcome back. It's our radio. We got this heated topic right here, religion. We got Mr. Anthony on the line. Also my co-host, Louis Verdugo. So,
hey,
yeah,
can I just go ahead and answer the point that Anthony was relating earlier? You know, on how can we be you know, whether Quran or whether Christianity is the right way, you know, into heaven. You know, Jesus said something very important, Anthony. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come unto the Father except through me." If that wasn't a reality, then Jesus would have never had to die that painful death that he died for you and me. You know, he made it very clear. There is no other way. You know, there's absolutely no other way. Jesus made it very blunt. You know, he made some declarations about himself that are just, you know, you have to evaluate them for what they are, you know. And, you know, it's just, it's not about, you know, whether my God is bigger than your God, you know. We need to be sure, you know what I mean, that we have the right path to salvation. And Jesus provided that in himself by dying a painful death for us that we, of ourselves, we deserve, each and every one of us, because all, you know, just like I said earlier, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all guilty before God.
Why couldn't Jesus, instead of Jesus going and dying, why couldn't he just come and spread the word and show, look, who I am?
He did that for three years.
Why did he have to die, though?
Because there was no other way. He prayed a prayer.
But that's what somebody said 5,000 years ago. You know?
Somebody wrote that down
in the middle of the desert out in the Middle East. I mean, I couldn't believe somebody out that said, I mean, somebody out in the Middle East wrote the Bible. People out in the Middle East, you know, 5,000 years ago. This is when people thought the world was flat. You know, why are we taking, we don't believe in anything else from back then. But why are we going to take the word of man? That's the word of some dude that's saying that. You know what I mean? That's just a regular person. Let's say, I'm not saying God isn't real, but let's say, okay, God is, why doesn't he manifest himself and say, look, here I am. You guys need to follow me. Just do it like that. Then people see it.
You know what, Carlos?
But that's what just people say. There's no actual proof. There's no actual written fact of the existence of him.
See, you're demanding things of God, you know, because your mind is so self-centered, you know, in the things that you believe.
No, I mean,
you
know, it's not self-centered. It's just I look at reality.
God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe you any explanations of why he does
things. Why do I owe God so much? Why should I give my life to an invisible entity?
Because you're a sinner, brother. You're a sinner just like everybody else.
And I accept that. And I'm cool with whatever happens when I die. I ain't tripping on it. Like, I'm not going to dedicate my life to what happens when I die. I mean, if people are so wanting to worry about what happens when they die, I mean, just why wouldn't just people just kill themselves?
Well, wait a minute.
You know, I mean, you're not worried about there.
Okay, well,
I'm not worried about going to hell. I'm not worried about there being nothing. If I go to heaven and God says, "Nah, you can't come in because you didn't go to church and you didn't dedicate your life to me," I'm gonna be like, "Oh well, then I don't want to go to that heaven. I don't want to be involved with something like that."
Because that shows so much weakness of man.
The Bible shows a jealous God, a vengeful God. I mean, that to me, those are a person that was like that. I wouldn't want to know. Why am I gonna want to? Dedicate my life to something like that.
You know what? Check this out. If you want to take your chances on your own, then you're welcome to do that. God is giving you a free will to use it however you want. This is the beauty of God's, you know, manifestation within our lives. He's giving us free will, man, to exercise it however we want. But we of ourselves we're going to have to suffer the consequences, you know. You know, your antagonistic ways, you know, towards Christianity, you know, you're going to have to, you know,
but it's
you're
not just Christianity, it's our religion.
You know, you personally are going to be accountable for your choices that you made. You know, just like you.
Yeah, but so I'm going to go to hell?
I'm going to go to hell because I didn't dedicate my life to God. I didn't say that. And just like
I told you personally,
God is not going to send you to hell. You are the one that's going to send yourself to hell because you chose to go there. You're making choices of your own
volition. If God is real and I get judged for my life, I'll be cool with that. And I go to hell. I mean, I'll go to hell. I mean, eventually you'll get used to the pain. I mean,
It hurts me to say, you know, to hear you say that, you know, because, you know, I don't think you're really.
I'm not an evil person. I mean, seriously, I'm not an evil person. I don't do bad. And if the God that everybody worships is going to send me to hell for not worrying about what happens when I die, then I don't want to go to that heaven. I just don't. That to me is just, I'm not going to accept that in life. Why am I going to accept that in death?
That's your choice, Carlos. You're entitled to make those choices for yourself. But you know what?
Right.
Like I said before, God is not going to send you to hell. You of yourself, you choosing to go there, because he's on. You're talking about, you know, he wants me to do this. He's only asking you to do one thing. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess him with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. You know, that's the only thing that he wants you to do. He wants you to believe in him and trust in him. You know, what's so hard?
Yeah.
What's so hard about that? I mean,
it's just that there's millions of people who have done that and believe me, we're very content.
You know?
The one thing I don't get is there was so much peace and harmony in heaven, then why did Jesus or God, whatever, kick out Lucifer because he was corrupted and evil in the mind? How could evil in the mind exist in heaven? You know, and like I said, I'm not doubting anything or disbelieving. I'm just only trying to get on track, get answers, get a new insight from people, say as Lou, that knows. So I have these questions that people always never want to answer, so maybe you'll be the one to answer them and help me get on track, you know, or answer them to your best ability. Maybe I'll receive a message from you.
Anthony, I'm going to go farther than that. I'm going to pray for you, man. I'm going to pray that God will reveal himself to you. You know what? Carlos, you know, this is what amazes me about Carlos. Carlos acknowledges the reality that there is a God. You know, because he doesn't believe in the notion of evolution.
I'm not an atheist. I do believe there's a higher power, because like DNA, the amount of time that the Earth and universe is more or less from 6 billion to 9 billion years old, and the complexity of DNA, it's impossible. They said there was an intelligent design to that. Now I keep my mind open to that. There could be a higher entity, but I don't think he's watching us. I don't think he's like, okay, I'm gonna keep tabs on you, because if you don't do right, hey, you're gonna go to hell. I just cannot believe that. I don't believe in any religion the way that it's written, and probably the God that I believe in is not the same God that everyone else believes in.
So you believe in an absentee landlord? This is what you believe. You believe in an absentee landlord? He just created the world.
Well, I don't 100% believe, but I also don't 100% disbelieve. You know what I mean?
Going back to what you said, Anthony, you know, the mystery of evil is something that has befuddled the minds of a lot of people. You know, we all question this reality. You know, we all just like wonder, why is there so much evil in the world? But the truth of the matter is that we're all infected with what is disease. You know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is what the Bible says. You know, and so God has provided a remedy for our wretched condition by him coming down from his heavenly throne and disrobing himself of his majesty and coming down here and provide a solution for our problem. He did that, you know, by dying for our sins, for taking our place that each and every one of us deserve. You know, none of us are going to be able to comprehend, you know, the whole spectrum of evil, you know, why things happen the way that happen. It's a mystery. I mean, I question these things, you know. I find myself asking why people do so horrendous, you know, such evil things, you know, towards other people. It just, you know, it befuddles me as well. But I know this one, you know, just like I told Carlos before, I know that God is going to make all things new. The day is going to come where a new day is going to dawn. And all the questions that we had are going to be clarified in that day. God is going to wipe away our tears. He's going to, you know, he's going to make all things new, just like he promised. You know, he's going to eradicate the evil within his creation. You know, and so, you know, I yearn for that day. There's so many of us who yearn for that day. You know, for who wants to live, you know, in a world that is fallen for all eternity? I
just got one question about that, like. the story of Jesus, that you know, he was born of a virgin, he died for the sins of man. The before the New Testament was even written, there's been like four other stories written in other religions before Christianity, and they say the same exact thing. For example, in the Egyptians, that they had the god Isis. He also came, was born of a virgin, died for the sins of man, and was resurrected. Is the same thing, and the same thing is in pagan religions. I can't remember which other ones, but there's about five different stories with the same exact thing.
Reading a lot of Van Daniken. You know, those are mythical stories. You know,
what's the difference between their stories and Jesus? It's the same thing. There's no proof that theirs existed, and there's no proof that Jesus existed either.
Excuse me?
You know, in my point of view, the story of Jesus and the story of the other religions of the same story, what's the difference? Because one person says, or because there's more Christians than other things? I mean, I just can't fathom the fact that people will dedicate their lives to something that was written by man. There's people that wrote it, but there's no actual proof of it. I mean, in the Bible it says that before you're born, that God already has your life written. It was written before you were born. So how does that explain people that go and cause mass murders? People that kill kids.
But wait a minute. Where,
people that rape kids. I mean, so God put them on the planet to do that?
Carlos,
says they're going to rape kids.
Carlos, where in the Bible does it say that he had those things written?
It's in there. It's in the book of life that's written. It says that in there.
No, it says that our members, just like you spoke about the code of DNA, that are written. You know, those things are written. David declared the fact, all my members are written in your book, you know. But listen to what I'm saying. God knew, yes, because he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows that, you know, he knew that, you know, you were going to live, you know, the way that you were going to live and stuff like that, you know, based on the choices that you made, stuff like that. You know, God is giving us, he gave us free will to exercise it however we want. But he's provided also.
So you believe you actually believe that the world is only 5,000 years old and we come from two people? You 100% believe that?
What do you mean? That we come from
two people? Like Adam and Eve. Adam. So you believe that we're the products of incest?
The product of incest? Excuse me?
Yeah, we're the product of, if we come from two people, there's incest going on in there. How could we explain 9 billion?
Well, if you want to do that, how can you explain when Adam and Eve was supposed to be white or of whatever nationality? Then you got black people, you got Sicilians like me, you got Mexicans, you got Japanese.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Oh, that was the Tower of Babylon, that's right, when he made everyone different.
Yeah,
they're
trying to reach heaven with the ladder, the stairway to heaven. That explains, that's why there's different languages.
But
I mean, There's just, how can you explain dinosaurs these are millions of years old? So everybody is lying about that. Everybody's lying about carbon dating, about the fact that they have proof of that the world has been through different climate changes, has been through different, that there's been meteors that hit the earth. I mean, these are things that are found, are proven in science. Now you can say no, but that's just what they say. But I mean, science, we're talking because of science right now. The fact that we're on a computer, that there's electricity, that those are things that are written from technology, from science, that were done from that.
But what about in the Bible where it says man will pick up a stone and talk into it, and the stone will talk back to the man? It says something along those lines.
In the Bible,
it said that. It is a storyline in there. Don't ask me what book, but it says it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, that religion will pick apart the Bible and only explain Adam and Eve and say, well, that's just a metaphor.
And okay, but you, how can you? Because a lot of
I've asked that same question.
I've asked the same question to people, and they tell me, well, it's because the Bible it was written, and things shouldn't be taken so literal in there. It's a metaphor. It's for you to learn and get closer to God. Okay,
This is what I told you before, Carlos, as well, in our private conversation, you know. Have this speculative mind that reaches way out there, you know. It's just, I believe in the validity of the Bible. You know, the Bible is inspired by God, you know. You keep referring that man wrote it. Yeah, God used man.
It was written by man.
Okay, yeah, God used man to write down, you know, to read his inspired, his inspired word. The Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is therefore profitable for reproof, for correction, for all these things that we need, you know. God used man to write the Bible, but he inspired these men, you know. And this is why it all goes back to what I told you, that you keep saying that you read the Bible, you know the Bible and stuff like that. You know, your natural mind will not allow you to see, you know, the reality and the validity of spiritual inspiration. You know, it's just it's not going to do it, man. I mean, I'm sorry to say that.
I don't badmouth the Bible. There's a lot of beautiful things in there. There's a lot of inspiring things in there. You know, my favorite Bible verse is Psalms 3, you know, and it's there's a lot of good stuff in there, but also, you know, I've read a lot of books that have a lot of good stuff in it that I love to read, but I'm not gonna dedicate my life to
Carlos,
it, man. I just can't do it, dude.
Carlos, you have a hometown buffet of theology. You just pick the things that you like to serve, you know, whatever purposes and means that you want to apply them to your life. You know, I take the whole Bible literally. You know what I mean? I take it as the inspired word of God. You know.
So if God came to you and told you to kill your son, you would kill him? Or would you go check yourself, or would you
but
go see if
God
maybe you have mental instability? He did it to Abraham.
God will never ask you to do that. God
but
will never ask
to Abraham.
No,
he did it to Abraham. Why wouldn't he do
Abraham.
It to you?
No, wait a minute.
No, Abraham was about to stab his son. Are you going to be friends with somebody that tells you, hey, man, go kill your son if you believe in me. Go kill him right now. Or would you be like, hey, dude, you know what? That's nah, man. I ain't down with that. You know, something that's higher and created something that seems flawed to me. There's a flaw in that. There's a flaw in God testing people. I mean, that would be a bad person if it was an actual living being. People wouldn't want to worship that. They'd be like, dude, that guy is jealous and vengeful. And jealousy and vengeance, those are part of the seven sins.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I told you this story
you're referring to the story in Genesis 22 when God asked Abraham to offer his son as a sacrifice. This is just a test of his faith, man. You know what? Let me tell you something. You know, God, you know, in order for your faith to be real, it needs to be tested. You know, how can you know you have the right faith if it is not tested? God asked Abraham to offer his son, who he was idolizing at this particular time, and God asked him to sacrifice him. You know, to take him into a mountain that he was going to show him and to sacrifice him there. But, see,
but if somebody
asked
you to do
hold
that,
on a second.
You take that as a
let me,
as a
let me finish. Let me finish. Let me just go ahead and finish. But unbeknownst to Abraham, Abraham was acting out prophecy. You know, remember when he was, just like you said, that he was about to stab his son, and a voice came from heaven, he says, and he restrained him from doing so, and he says, you know, but if they were going up in the mountain, you know, his son Isaac asked him, Father, behold the wood and the knife, but where is the lamb? And Abraham says something very, very profound. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. When did he do that? Well, Jesus came into the scene. John seen him coming to this baptism, and John gave this testimony. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Abraham was acting out prophecy unbeknownst to him. And this is what you don't understand, because there's a lot of disciplines in the Bible that you have to follow. You know, there is things like you said, like you said, you know, things that are, you know, to be taken literal. There's this poetic language as well. There is a anthropomorphic language in there. There is plenty of disciplines that you need to know in order to be able to understand scripture.
All right,
it's just,
right.
To you, the whole aspect of God asking Abraham to do a certain thing to test out his obedience.
That's just a character flaw to me. That's a character flaw to me, and I wouldn't want to have anything to do with something like that. That's just to me.
You know,
I wouldn't want to know a person like that. Why would I want to know a God like that?
Okay, well, see, you don't understand the moral of the whole story. You know, you just
to me, it sounds like people explaining and giving excuses for that. I mean, if you were to look at that now, you'd be like, nah, man, that's all bad right there. That's just not good. But people are so, religion has been around so long that it's embedded in us to the point where me, I can't even sit here and say I'm an atheist because I feel guilty about it. People would probably consider me that because I do not believe in the God that other people believe. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't in any of that, dude. It's just evil to me. It's keeping man down.
Carlos, you're entitled.
Carlos,
you're entitled.
I want to ask you something, man. Okay. I want to ask you something about the Catholic religion. I was reading up on the new Pope. He acknowledges alien life. That there is extraterrestrials out there, that there are other planets out there. What do you feel about that? What's your point of view on that?
Well, I can't speak on something I don't know anything about. You know, I don't know any. You know, the way this man thinks. You know, it's just I can't speak.
But
wrong,
the same thing
could
be said about God.
What do you mean?
The same thing could be said about that. I mean,
you didn't understand what I said. Carlos, you didn't understand what I said. I said I cannot speak on something I do not know. You know,
okay.
I'm not going to take the word that he said this, that he said that. Maybe I can go ahead and look it up and stuff like that and maybe evaluate it for what it's worth, and then we can go ahead and hold a discussion on that. But other than that, I'm not going to speak on something I don't know anything about, you know.
But with communications the way it is now with the Internet and everything, There's probably more written things about aliens than there is about the whole Bible. So and both of them are written by man. Both of them are written by what they think. People say, oh, I've been visited by aliens, and people are like, you know, some people believe that, some people don't. But it's because they say it. There's no record of it. There's nothing. It's just they say this. It's like,
Carlos,
you know, I'll say this.
If you want to believe in ET, go for it, man. You know, I'm gonna put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, man.
No, see, isn't it pretty arrogant to think that this universe, that there's more galaxies, no, in the whole universe than there is grains of sand in the whole world and all the beaches, that we're the only life in all of it? That's pretty arrogant to think.
We'll be right back.
DJ Exquisite on the ones and twos.
One summer night.
On Versatile Radio.
Versatile Radio.
Sister.
Much.
Yeah, man, welcome back. Versatile Radio. Heated discussion right here. We still got Mr. Anthony on the line and a co-host, Louie. Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
Hey, man.
It's good stuff.
Hey, Carlos, can I just please say something real quick?
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Remember what I told you that I never seen in my life, you know, in my journey walking with the Lord, I ain't never seen anyone arguing to the kingdom of God. You know, we can sit here and argue back and forth and stuff like that. I don't think we're ever going to accomplish anything. But can I read something real quick? And I just want to put it in perspective, you know, and I want to be able to bring context to what I'm about to read right now. And this is out of John 3. This is the words of Jesus, okay? And he says, and this is a condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men loveth darkness rather than light, because the deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hateth the light, neither cometh he to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that dieth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, what Jesus is saying here, you know, that the reason why we don't want to surrender our will to him is because we love, you know, our lives the way they are. You know, we just don't want to be told what to do. We want to be the bosses of our own lives. And, you know, I tried to do that for many years, you know. And I found myself that every time that I drove this car, man, I always wrecked it. you know, always found myself, right. you know what I mean, beat up and nowhere to go and stuff like that. So, you know, it took for me to look up in order to be able to just find the answers that I needed, you know. I found those answers, you know, in Jesus Christ, and, you know, I give him all the honor and all the glory because he saved me, you know. He set me free from a life of toil and snare, you know, just like the song, you know, by Willie G says, you know, he came to save us from a life of toil and sin. And he truly did that, you know.
Yeah.
And this is the reality, you know, as Jesus was teaching, you know, many people were astonished. They were astonished by his teachings. And they said this, no one has ever spoken like this man before. And you know what? That's so true.
Right.
Because the words of Jesus, you know, they're so profound, you know. And they dealt with the reality of our, you know, of how sinful and how wretched we are. I have a poem that I wrote. You know, I'm still working on it. You know,
okay.
It's called Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. You know, and it goes, you know, I got it written down somewhere, but so it goes down these lines. It says, mirror, mirror on the wall, we all have one of those. We live in a day and age where we love to be able to be showered with accolades, you know, but whenever we're confronted with truth, we always recoil, you know. And that's so true because Jesus came and he dealt with our sinful nature, you know. His brother, one of his own brothers, you know, he was antagonistic towards him. His name was James. You know, in John chapter 7, he challenges Jesus, and he says, aren't you going to this feast? Show yourself to the world. If you're doing these things, why are you hiding? And Jesus says, my time is not at hand, but your time is always at hand. You know, you can always, you know, people would always, you know what I mean, have time for you. But for me, they don't have time because I testify that their deeds are evil, you know. And this is why, you know, this is why people do not want to come to Jesus, because he exposes us for the rascals that we really are. And we don't want to be told that. We want to be showered with accolades. We want to be able to, you know, receive praises from men and honor ourselves. You know, I love the movie Gladiator. In the movie Gladiator, is Maximus is there before Commodus. You know, Commodus is telling him about, you know, how his wife moaned like a whore. Is they ravaged her again and again, you know, and his son squealed like a girl as they nailed him to the cross. And I like what Maximus said. He turned around and he said, the time for honoring yourself will soon be at an end. You know what? The day is going to come with, you know, all this honoring among ourselves, you know, it's all going to be done away with, you know.
But why is it that people that, like, people that are religious and believe in Jesus and God, people that aren't, are, they look at them as oh, you worship yourself. But to me, it, somebody that worships something that they don't know, that's an invisible thing, is no different than believing in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or the Easter Bunny.
It's like it says,
when I was a child, I thought like a child. I talked like a child.
False word.
But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. You know, and it's just, I grew up, and I don't believe in Santa Claus. I don't believe it. And how can I sit here and believe something else that is written by man that's no different? It's no different. You know what I mean? It's just good in religion because, like you're a good person and it's changed you for the best, you know. So I can't sit here and badmouth all religion completely because, you know, there's good in it, but there's also evil in it because look at all these child molesters in the Vatican, man. Look at all these dudes becoming priests just so they could touch kids. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it.
So there's too much evil.
You know, I appreciate your compliment, but I'm not good. I know that, you know, I know that altogether, you know. It is only by the grace of God that I am who I am today, just like Paul says, you know. I am who I am today because of Jesus Christ, you know. As Paul said, you know, you quoted Paul right now. You know, you quoted the words of Paul.
From Corinthians. Romans,
you know, in Corinthians, excuse me. You know, he also said in Philippians, he says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded without a shadow of a doubt that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him, unto that day, you know. You know, Paul was convinced without a shadow of a doubt that he was confronted with the risen Christ, you know, and he was willing to sacrifice his life in order to seal what he believed, you know. And you're talking about a man who was antagonistic towards Christianity, you know. You read his story in the book of Acts. He was persecuting the church, you know. And there he was. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute more believers. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto him, and he says, Paul, He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He says, what will you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, he surrendered his life right there and then in the spot. And this is what has to happen with each and every one of us. We need to stop running away from ourselves. We need to start running away from the reality that, you know, that we of ourselves can never accomplish anything. You know, we have a failed system. We have a failed government. We have all this history, man, where man is always coming up with ideals and coming up with remedies, you know, to heal the ills of society. And we haven't been able to find anyone to deal with, you know, with our wretchedness. You know what I mean? We're never going to find a perfect government. We're never going to find, you know what I mean, a perfect society. It is only when Jesus Christ comes in.
Or a perfect religion either.
Excuse me? It is only through Jesus Christ when he comes and establishes his kingdom where there's going to be peace on, you know, on earth, man. You know, it's just, you know, if you want to continue, Carlos, I'm sorry to say this, you know, and I don't mean to antagonize in any way, shape, or form. If you want to continue to throw yourself in a pool that has no water, you're entitled to do that. You know, my pool has a lot of water, and I thank God that, you know what I mean, that I'm able to spring out of the springboard and get in there, man, and swim. You know, and the validity of Scripture and the validity of Jesus Christ and his claims, you know. And, you know, it's just, you know, I'm convinced, just like Paul. I know in whom I have believed. You know, and I'm persuaded without a shadow of a doubt that he's able to keep that.
In the,
I committed unto him.
In the
I'm
New
not
Testament,
committing
King James Version. Revelation 2015, it says, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so the book of life, that's written by God before you're even born. So if I'm born already predestined, so I mean, no matter what I do, I could right now say, okay, I believe and dedicate my life. I ain't in that book. I'm still going to go to hell. It's that lake of fire.
You know what? This is you're dealing with a subject that, you know, God is omniscient, you know, and omniscience, you know what omniscience means?
Yeah, ominous.
You know what it means? Omniscience just basically means that he knows all things. He's all-knowing. You know, we're limited in our capacity to understand certain things, you know, but he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows those who are going to accept him in faith, and he knows those who's not going to. See, nothing takes God by surprise. You know,
so it's not my fault that I don't believe in. So how am I going to, if it's not
wait
my fault,
you're
how is he going to judge
Carlos,
me for that? If he made me
Carlos,
like that.
You have a free will. God is giving you a free will to exercise it of your own volition.
But that contradicts itself. If you have a free will, there wouldn't be no book of life. There wouldn't
Excuse
be one
me?
If you had free will.
Why not?
Free will doesn't exist if there's a book of life. Because it's predestined. You're born already. You're in the book of life. It's already written what you're going to do in your life.
Always,
and if you're not in that
you
book,
know,
you ain't going to heaven. So it's not my fault what I do.
He already seen the whole parade. He already seen the whole parade, Carlos. It's just basically what it means.
Yeah.
Listen, let me just say something. Let me make an analogy here. When we go to a parade and we stand right there in the streets, we can only see the things that are passing right before us. You know, but if we get on a helicopter, we can see the whole procession. You know, this is the same thing with God. God has seen the whole history being played out before him. Everything's already history in his economy. You know, so there's, you know, there's one word that is not found in God's vocabulary is oops. You know,
yeah, but
there's no
thing. That's the thing, though. Every person that I will ask a logical question like that, and no disrespect. But all they do is quote the Bible, quote things that Jesus said. Okay, that's
good.
I could quote things in the Bible and then say, well, but it's true. How does that make it true? Quote what's happened in your life that you can actually say, like, okay, I've seen God or I know he exists. I mean, it's just, like I say, faith. It's just faith. You're just, you know, pretty much blind faith.
The reason why we relate to Scripture is because Jesus said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." You know, if Peter was, you know, if Peter was there in John 6, you know, when Jesus had preached a message about him being the breath of life and stuff like that, and all his disciples, you know, were walking away, Jesus turned around and looked at the 12 and he says, "Do you also want to meet me?" And Peter says something very interesting. He says, "To whom should we go? we know that you have the words of life. You know, this is the reason why we relate to Scripture, because, you know, every time, you know, when we try to make our point, we relate to Scripture because we know the validity of Scripture. You know, the Word of God is true. You know, why would I refer, you know, to a lie? You know, I mean,
right. That
to me doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm referring to Scripture because I know the validity of Scripture. I know that Scripture, you know, the integrity of Scripture is compelling. You know, and it just, you know, it's just like I said, we can go ahead and volley back and forth, you know, about who's this, that, you know, and we're never going to get anywhere, because like I said, I never seen anyone being arguing to the kingdom of God. And it is only when we come to Jesus Christ and there, you know, just confess our sins and accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, then would he reveal himself to you. He's not going to reveal himself to you, Carlos, just because you want him to, because he needs to. He's not a genie in a bottle. God is not a genie in a bottle that you can rub and say, well, you have to do this. But wait a minute, hold on a second. Who are you? God doesn't owe you an explanation for nothing. You understand what I'm saying? We spoke about this, you know. In a monarchy, you cannot ask, you know, even though you don't like the rulership of a king, you still have to obey because you're under his rulership.
But I mean, if we don't accept the king in life, I mean, there's hardly any royal families anymore that's actually a king and that's looked down on. Why are you going to worship a king?
I worship the true king. I worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, man. You know, praise God for that. You know.
Yeah, man. All right, but we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up, man. We're gonna have to definitely keep on the subject, and say thanks to Anthony and everybody that's listening.
Can you give me the privilege to pray?
Go for it, man.
Okay, thank you
very
much.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, I just come before your presence, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father. I thank you for Carlos, Lord God. I thank you for his willingness to just go ahead and challenge, you know, Lord God, your word, Lord God. I know, Father, that he has doubts, and Father, we know there's many people who have doubts. I had doubts. There's many of us who had doubts, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that as we came and bow our knees before you right now, as we did it as in reverence, Lord God, so that we don't have to do it in shame in the day when all knees will bow to you and all tongues will confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, I thank you for Carlos. I thank you for all the listeners, Lord God, and everyone who just was patient and listening, Lord God. Father, I don't have all the answers, Lord God. You know I'm limited, Lord God, in my understanding. But I know that you know all things, Lord God, and I know that you see the hearts, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that you will just continue to bless this radio station, Father. Father, if you want me to continue to be a guest here on this station, I pray that you would just give me the words to speak so that I may be able to just glorify you and bring honor and glory to your name, Lord Jesus. But we know that, Lord God, it is you, Lord God, who knows us, and you have written us in the palms of your hands, Lord Jesus. You have engraved us, Lord God. You loved us so much, Lord God, that you died for us, and I thank you for that. And I pray that if anyone's listening right now, Lord Jesus, if any heart is just open to receive what you have for them, Lord God, as you said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm lowly and meek, and you shall find rest for your souls. Lord, I pray if there's anyone out there, Lord God, who needs you, who is just tired, Lord God, of just wrecking his life, Lord God, with the things of the world, I pray that that person will come and bow the knee before you right now and will just confess you as Lord and Savior. And Father, I thank you, Father, for Versatile Radio. Lord God, keep blessing it. Bless Amari, Lord God. Bless Eddie, Lord God. Bless the whole entire Fisher family. Bless my family. Bless Carlos's family and all the families that are out there, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, man. All right, that's awesome. Yeah, we're going to keep it going.
Radio. What's up, y'all? This is Brother Iggs. Now I'm here in the studio, reminiscing, thinking back to all the things that God has brought me out. But more importantly, thinking about what God is doing today in my life. You know, it started right there on the east side of San Jose, McKee and White, growing up as a knucklehead. But now, traveling all around the world, reaching lost souls with the music.
But it's only by his grace and mercy that I'm here, and I don't deserve any of this. You see, July 20th, 1997, I died. I died right there at the altar. But Brother Ig was born again. That was July 20th. But July 19th, the day before, was a whole nother East Side story. Now won't you come and take a trip with me? July 19th. As the sun rises, I raise my feet. I look in the mirror and I hate what I see. I can't believe all that I've done. I'm ashamed to be your son. What have I become? I'm falling deeper and deeper into my sin with the grin. I'm on the outside looking in. I've been smiling sideways through the valley of death. I wasted my last breath. Sin was nothing left but darkness. The devil got the brother straight bound. And my sorrows are drowned. I'm watching my life go down. Here it goes. I feel it pumping all through my veins. I'm falling down like the rain. I'm so bound in these chains. These things that I love, I feel them all. Guilt, pain, and liquor, that is my downfall. Now which one of y'all is gonna catch me if I drop? Where you at? Where you at? That's what I thought. I fall deeper, I feel the presence of the Reaper. And my soul, it's getting weaker. I'm falling deeper, I'm falling deeper and deeper. I'm falling deeper and deeper. Hey, yo, deep breathing, got the strength and hanging right for the bottom. Not to mention my obsession with the dank and the power. This is my darkest hour, death may come any minute. I'm tired of how I'm living, so forgive me for my sin. Hey, yo, deep breathing, got the strength and heading right for the bottom. Not to mention my obsession with the dank and the powder. This is my darkest hour, death may come any minute. I'm tired of how I'm living, so forgive me for my sin. A new situation, occupation, be a dove. Pistol packing, pants are sagging, show my enemies no love. We fund them SJ cuts, you know them deep dark dungeons. Incarcerated with my partners, enemies, uncles, and cousins. Thought I wasn't a factor with this game and the struggle. Getting in and out of trouble, trying to make my money bubble. The concrete jungle, shark tank to my folks. Well, you'll get eaten alive. The street ain't no joke. Crack bag and crack joke has got the best of me. But I gotta break these chains, so Lord set me free. I said I gotta break these chains, so Lord set me free. Now I'm a natural born sinner, never been called a winner. As I walk the crooked path, my soul is getting thinner. Is there a better way in society? Cops me know, so I'm the usual suspect. Wherever I go, I know deep down inside my soul needs some help. I like a plan with fire, but I don't wanna burn in hell. Until my walls are caving in and see the sea to swim. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. My friends are blowing in the wind, they're dropping like dimes. And the ones doing time say we're living the life. Behind these four walls, my demons will rise. My eyes are wide shut, so I don't see no light. My life's a big fight, I tend to struggle on the daily. I'd like to fight Christ, cause I heard that he can save me. Now I'm praying. Family that I hurt the most. It couldn't even take the tears of my mother or the discipline of my pops to make me change. You see, my papa was a rolling stone, and I was rolling stone. Too cool to be at home, so the streets I was roaming stone. As a youth, that family comes first. You can never let them hurt, to let them down is worse. And papa said that there'll be days like this. He raised his kids, hoping that the rain will miss. He prays like this, each and every chance. Curse begun, the storm is come, praise God. fell for everything around me, the streets, the bottles, the drugs. July 19th at 2 a.m., I found myself walking through a cemetery, saying, you know what, I should be here. I should be here for all the trouble that I went through. But then there was hope, because that morning, I found myself at an altar at Victory Outreach Church. And I said, God, if you're for real, you'll take away this pain. You'll take away this hurt, this guilt, this addiction. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I was free, y'all. July 20th, that day last night, I let the Lord in my heart's door. Man, I never knew a love like this before. No more pain, no more life being bound. I wanted to tell the world about the love I found. Then I look around, seems like many are against me. I cannot tell who's a friend or an enemy. Cause these are ones that I would ride for. I gave my life for, and even ones I'm not for. Oh Lord, give me the strength to let them understand that I'm not the same egg, I'm a changed man. It was your plan, July 20th, 1997. The day you took me from the devil and opened up the heavens and reached your hand out and came into my heart. Forgave my sins and gave me a new start. Now I ain't gonna stop, many will hate me cause of you. But forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Of my flesh, hip bone of my bone, my soul burns in my chest like fire, brimstone. This year alone, I went to more funerals than I ever did before. I don't want to go no more than see you reach what you sow. But God gives a second chance. I laid hands on prisoners, but I kill up, it's all a dead. And back down to Juvie Hall and YA. Never lose faith on you that go astray. And don't forget, we made mistakes back in our day. Until I heard them say, people come and walk this way. Now I talk this way with authority and boldness. Speak the truth like God has told us. From the youngest to the oldest, all my candy getting closest. Now I can't, I can't be closest. Don't just stand there like you're frozen. With my hand, I want you to hold us. I'll lead you out like I was Moses. Click the scene, no hocus pocus. Ain't my word, have you noticed? That's the Holy Ghost of Moses. Oh, that's my bad, y'all. Sometimes I don't know where my manners are, but if you don't know who I am, allow me to introduce myself. Brother E, my friend, and I'm a soldier of gold. When I'm on stage, I can touch the stars, touch my heart. In return, I touch the lows. My soul bleeds every 16 bars. It seems hard, but I prove that this is addictions. Permission as you ask for forgiveness. No wishing on a star or a four-leaf clover. Don't read this, get over, man, the truth is Jehovah. Hold up. Hey, yo, Ed, why'd you stop? Hey, man, I gotta catch my breath. How you got it? Yeah, I go. I ain't a gangster or hoodlum. A cougar or thug, but I was covered by slugs. Can you handle God's love? You'd rather bust slugs. You'd rather mean mugs. But when push comes to shove, can you handle God's love? If I could just reach one of y'all with my rhyme, then I know I could reach most of y'all. In due time, and see the devil wants to make us fall in this life, but I know he can get to us all. So let's fight. If I could just reach one of y'all with my rhyme, if I could just reach one of y'all with my rhyme, if I could just reach one of y'all with my rhyme, then I know I could reach most of y'all in due time. Now looky, looky here, the brother Ick has appeared. I got that uncut and raw flavor for your ears. All demons fear when I let loose the flow. And when I enter the center, they're like, yo, yo, there he go. Untouchable, made men for Christ. Forget about it, see he gave this light. And like the silver and black attack, there ain't no stopping. Cause I'm running through your team like Napoleon Kaufman. And I got a murder rap for all the tracks I killed. I'm wanting the full state, cause my rap's too real. And if words can kill, I'll be a two-time felon. One for each album, third strike, no telling. I'll be sailing with a paddle going straight up the river. Sign, seal, deliver my message. It gives you shivers, it's bigger than all of us. So that's the rhyme and reason. And like a Ray the Phantom down in and out of season. 408 reasons why this crash life's so lovely, huh? Can I get an amen, somebody? The seven dudes bloody still the vehicle of choice. The mic, here's my weapon, ammunition is my voice. The target, all my folks that are slipping into darkness. Yo, I try my hardest, gotta get you back regardless of any opposition. I ain't tripping, I'm on a mission. All I need is one mic and one vision. That's it, man. Come and walk with me, talk with me. Give me a minute, I got some things on my mind. I like to sprinkle you with it, don't get it twisted, cause my rhymes are uplifted. Some may not get this, but I'm on the devil's hit list. When I fit this, your rhyme to the lost, that's my target. The gangsters and thugs, dope fiends are heartless. Caught up in the darkness, in the dungeons where you'll find them. In the arms of Diablo, but I'm right behind them. Line them up, bind them up. This is demon slaying, but I believe that things are sane. Cause these demons ain't playing, never thinking for somebody. And they come back
understand me now. You're so kind.